Good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this 10th day of June of 2025. And got Jim Dozer Adams in with me this morning. Jim.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I think I'm going to make it.
You're going to make it. Well, you decide not to, give me a little advance warning. So.
Okay, I'll make sure to let you know.
So, like you say, you've got a very busy time. All employees are expected to work. You will get half a day off for your personal funeral, but then we're expected back.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
Okay. There's a lot of nonsensical stuff going on.
Really?
Yeah, there is. And one of the things, it kind of comes under the heading of you can't make this stuff up, or why should you have to, or the riots in L.A. right now.
Yeah.
And if you've seen some of the pictures and this thing, it's pretty touchy.
Yeah.
So how does that get described by one network? Just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn. Yeah, you know, it's sort of like
that's bad.
They had in Wisconsin and Minnesota, when they had the riots going on, they had one of the networks that had a reporter standing in front of a burning building with folks throwing things, saying, the demonstrations, they're mostly peaceful.
Okay.
It goes back to the Desert Storm Iraq War.
Yeah.
When the Iraqi news person was up there talking about there are no American tanks in Baghdad. And in the background, driving through there, right behind him was an American tank.
Wow. Okay.
Some of the coverage is just sort of pathetic. And so is what's going on. I am more concerned for our country right now than I have been in a very long time. It is a volatile situation, and now they got California's going to file suit saying that the President of the United States does not have the authority to nationalize the National Guard. The National Guards normally come under the state's authority until they're nationalized for any sort of national emergency, and the President gets to decide what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the Commander in Chief, and he nationalizes them. And back in the 60s, when the North Koreans stole a boat of ours, a Pueblo, which they still have, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they mobilized a bunch of guys, were sent over there. I was one of them. And we stayed over there. We were there about 6 months, and they had rotated other people, too. But what they did is they nationalized an Air National Guard unit, and they stayed over and they did their 6 months in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have some regulations that were passed, some laws passed a good while back to guarantee their jobs they hold, because the National Guard guys, they exercise about a couple of 3 weeks.
Sure.
Usually in the summer, once a year, and then monthly meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Air National Guard, for example, they do a lot of flying, because that's what they the Air National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so they deployed them in their planes over there. It kind of surprised some of them.
Yeah.
But it's what you sign up for.
That's it.
There was a man, a friend of mine knew, who was a doctor, and he signed up with the Naval Reserve, and he was telling us, "Well, it's a great deal, you know. You go a couple of weeks in the summer, and then once a month you go to meetings, and then when you're 60, you retire, and then when you get to regular retirement age, then you get a pension."
Yeah.
And my buddy said, "I'm going to pass."
Mm-hmm.
So the guy did that, and he no sooner got his MD than they called him up and sent him to Korea in the middle of the Korean War.
Oh, wow.
So, if you put on a uniform, you sign up for whatever you get called up to do. And
that's
the president decides he's going to nationalize you for his purposes, especially if you got a governor or a state governor that's saying, nothing's happening here, nothing's happening here, and things are happening here. And some of what I saw last night in watching the news was pretty much under control. Others of it is on the very edge.
Yeah.
So it's a dangerous situation.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on.
But now, just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn.
Yeah, that's all kinds of fun.
I mean, this guy would have to upgrade to be an idiot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Anyway, other odds and ends of things, and then I want to get into some, I'm concerned about our country and some other things.
Sure, sure.
We're actually, in connection with that, we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God, and I got a couple of James Montgomery Boyce devotions we're going to kind of go through and pursue that a little bit. We're going to talk about Daniel a little bit and not be talking about end times, which is almost unheard of.
All right.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Zechariah 7:9, Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. The late Dr. James Boy said some interesting thoughts as to why God's justice is offensive. In human affairs, we rightly value justice and the wrath of the judicial system, for they rightly protect us. If by chance we ourselves run afoul of the law, there's always the chance that we can cop a plea, escape on a technicality, or plead guilty to some lesser offense and be excused for it. But we cannot do that with God. With Him, we deal not with the imperfections of human justice, but with the perfections of divine justice. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Tuesday.
Okay, one of the things going on now, and it seems to become a fad, and it's one of the things folks acting like it's a prank, and it's not. It's called swatting, like in SWAT teams, special weapons and tactics.
Uh-huh.
And now they have swatted FBI Director Kash Patel's house.
Mm-hmm.
He's on one of the, he has revealed on a radio program that. It still happens from time to time, even though he's the director of the FBI. Said that just last week it got swatted. And what that's kind of, they call it a prank call, but it's not exactly that because it's a possibility of getting people killed.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is somebody calls them to law enforcement and they say there's a dangerous activity at an address of someone, a celebrity or a political activist. The idea, the SWAT team will respond to that thing and all of a sudden somebody comes bashing into the door wearing black, mm-hmm. and you know who they are, and there have been some tragic results of that.
Sure.
So Mr. Patel says he's not taking it as a personal thing, but he is. Swatting is highly dangerous, and it has to be prosecuted with the full force of the law. If you're going to do a prank, folks, don't do one that's going to get somebody shot or killed.
That's right.
It's not funny.
Not funny at all.
It's not funny at all.
Mm-mm.
But not everybody is doing it because they think it's funny, because it's a prank. Some are doing it with malicious intent.
Sure, sure.
Because like I say, big folks can get killed that way. Another thing that's interesting, we're talking about the drones a lot and everything from the rather ones look like small airplanes that were used in combat to those that are being used in war right now.
Mm-hmm.
This taking some action. President Trump did this to boost the domestic drone manufacturing, and he's got several aspects of that thing. The main reason is that he's trying to keep up with the Chinese drone industry because the Chicoms, one company is believed to control about 70% of the global drone market. Early adopters of drone technology in the U.S. have been first responders who have used 90% Chinese manufactured drones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they manufacture, they can cut it off or they can put stuff in their chips.
Sure.
One day you send the drone out to do one thing, and it turns around and does something else.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Elise Stefanik has introduced legislation to ban the use of Chicom drones. But to do that, we've got to get our manufacturing up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same thing like right now. I've forgotten what the current percentage is. It was quite high, like 70 or 80%
mm-hmm.
of our pharmaceuticals are manufactured in China.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? You're going to trust people who are our enemies?
Yeah.
Just because they're not shooting at us right now doesn't mean they're not our enemies.
That's true.
And you're going to let them produce life-saving drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They found they were producing dog food, and they had automotive antifreeze as one of the ingredients in there, which was not healthy for animals. Wonder what they'd do for people. And another one, too, talking about the Chicoms, Chinese Communist Party. I call them. That's not the Chinese people. It's the government. Okay, the folks that... make that clear that I'm talking about the government, the Chinese Communists, and I call them the Chicoms because I'm an old Cold Warrior type, and that's what we do.
Sure.
Google News, according to an article in the Washington Examiner, the Google News Index is carrying a lot of hostile Chinese Communist-related propaganda as news on their website. They banned Russian state media in 2022. But now the official Chicom newspaper, People's Daily, the Chinese global television network, China Daily, are sources that their Google News is using right now. So you got to kind of balance it out with something else.
Mm-hmm.
They got two of those that have been flagged by the Justice Department as foreign missions. And the Chinese Communist Party's Central Propaganda Department runs China Daily. Oh, gee, the Propaganda Department tells you what the news is. What's going on? Uh-huh. But anyway, that's just a few little weird things going on. Minnesota girls softball team won the state championship with the pitcher was a male.
Yep.
And Riley Gaines is, you know, campaigning against men and women's sports. And Simone Biles, the absolute superb gymnast, is now she's mad and throwing rocks, verbal rocks at Riley Gaines, saying she should just take the loss and get a life. Anyway, those some of those things are kind of petty. Some of them are pretty serious.
Yeah.
But we want to just express my concerns. I've talked about the division in our nation and the hostility that's involved.
Yeah.
People are saying, you know, rough stuff, and some folks are taking it to heart. There are there are folks who, you know, they've seen some of the video games, they've seen the movies we've seen for years, but they don't realize that just because a guy gets shot dead in one movie and shows up in the next one, that's not the way it happens in real life.
That's right.
Now, the good news is most of the time if you get shot, you don't die.
Mm-hmm.
You want to play those odds?
No.
And one of the things they say, if you get somebody, especially for ladies, but if you go out to your car in a parking lot and somebody says, get in this car, just take off running. He's got a gun, and take off running. The further you get away from him, the more likely he is to miss. And don't run in a straight line, zigzag.
Zigzag, yeah.
Scream, yell, whoop, holler, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to, you know, one of those air horns, sound off with it.
Absolutely. Don't you also think, Jim, that... You know, it's a good idea, I think, in the days that we're times that we're living in right now, some type of self-defense.
There are lots of things you can do that are non-lethal.
Yeah.
Point one, we do have a Second Amendment right, which is not given to us, by the way, in the Constitution. It is acknowledged in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The Bill of Rights acknowledges pre-existing rights. But anyway, it's... Study up on it. If you feel so led inclined, then take a course, and get the permit. Even if you don't want to carry it around, we don't have to have a permit to carry concealed in Kentucky. But to go through one of the classes runs about probably $60 or so.
Mm-hmm.
You find out a whole lot of stuff, including when you can and can't, and get some training if you're going to carry a firearm or use a firearm. But there are other things. There are several kinds of pepper sprays. That are very effective. I mean, they got those things that run away, chase bears away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you squirt somebody with a bear spray, they will cease to bother you.
I also noticed that here in Hopkinsville, there's a karate place where you can learn.
Yeah,
to do
there
karate.
Are places that you can.
Yes,
that is another thing. Is learn a little bit of something anyway.
Yeah, learn a little something.
You know, some of us have kind of aged out of being a whole lot of martial arts type stuff, but you can learn a few things. Even in the little thing that shows up on Facebook and some of the social media, the little files, things like that, and some of those will show up, and they'll have somebody, what they're doing is they're trying to advertise their course they want you to take.
Yeah.
Show you a couple of things you can do that you maybe hadn't thought of.
Mm-hmm.
When you look, caution, ladies, it's at night and you've been at the mall, maybe you work at the mall and you've got to go out to your car, ask security to walk out with you.
Absolutely. That's what they're there for, right?
Yeah, it's one of the functions that they will do.
Yeah.
Or if you got somebody you know that you can trust, you can have them walk with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, start looking around your car, watch around your vehicle. If you got somebody pulled up real close to your car where you can't, and they've got a van and they've got the sliding door on your side, go on the other side.
That's it.
And when you get in, lock the car. Don't sit there and rummage through your keys and stuff. Have them out ready to unlock
ready
the car,
unlock.
Get in the car, lock it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, if it looks odd, it makes you uncomfortable. You know, say it's your, hopefully everything from the Holy Spirit to your subconscious saying this. You know, set doesn't look right. You know, and so
yeah,
just see get it. Some help. And like I say, there are a lot of non-lethal means of defending yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, for those who carry sidearms, if you show the sidearm or show that you have it, that ends the discussion because criminals are just want to steal and rob. They don't necessarily want to be shot themselves. They may want
That's
to
it.
Shoot you, but they don't want to get shot themselves.
Uh-huh.
And if their gun comes out, take off. Start running in zigzag.
Zigzag pattern.
In the movies, one shot and everybody falls down dead.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in real life. You look at some of the stories from combat, guys got shot a number of times and managed to continue to function.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Yep. So that's an interesting subject. Let's get the pen from the heart and get back on something more uplifting.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your continued witness. What a divine inspiration the station is. From Hopkinsville, I listen faithfully and want each of you to know that I greatly appreciate the station and everyone who sacrifices so that it can stay on the air. I pray God continues to bless each of you as you continue to carry the gospel through the airwaves. From a Murray listener, thanks for your steadfast witness.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
And the front porch on this Tuesday, of course, Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning.
Yeah, we're going to go into James Montgomery Boyce a little bit this morning. We just got mentioned him in Ken's Word in 60 Seconds. Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. And this has to do with Daniel's prayer. And you mentioned earlier this morning my concerns for the situation of our nation, the degree of divisiveness and the degree of hostility and anger, I guess it is.
Yeah.
You know, folks used to disagree and they just disagree. And now if you disagree with me, then you take it a personal affront and they want to punch you or burn your car so everybody can enjoy watching and laugh and enjoy having fun watching people's cars burn.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Anyway, Daniel chapter 2, 19 through 23.
Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what it is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand."
Mm-hmm. Interesting thing about Daniel, a lot of times when we talk about Daniel, we start thinking in terms of end times prophecies and all of this. And if you do that, and that's part of it, but if you do that, you miss a lot. Mm-hmm. Not the least of which being Daniel is probably the penultimate statesman.
Yeah.
Served all those different kings, always told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, James Montgomery Boyce talks about this. He says the theme of Daniel's prayer is the sovereignty of God. And the prayer has three parts. First, there is praise to God for two of his most important attributes, wisdom and power. How appropriate is the ascription of wisdom to God in these circumstances when Daniel needed to know the king's dream and its meaning. In other words, king says to the wise men, "Tell me about my dream." They say, "Tell us a dream, O king, and we'll tell you what it means." And no, I'm on to you. You tell me what I dreamed, and then you tell me what it means.
Yeah.
And they said, "Oh my, I think we're in trouble." And they were until the Lord revealed it to Daniel.
Yeah.
So Daniel needed to know the king's dream and its meaning. The wisest of Babylonians, magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers had been shown to be inadequate. Well, of course they are. They had confessed, "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, you think, and no one can show it to the king except the gods." So that was a kind of, only the gods can do that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, just the one.
That's it. No, only one.
The rest of them can lie to you.
That's it.
That's in verses 10 through 11. It's about a little further up. This is true. Boyce writes, but there is a God in whom is hidden all wisdom, and this is disclosed in the story. So the first attribute is praising to God for his wisdom. Next, the second attribute for which Daniel praised God is power, his sovereignty. In our natural states, none of us likes this attribute of God. We want to be in charge. I'm going to do it my way. This is because we want to be sovereign ourselves. We want to be powerful, mm-hmm. to control our lives. This was true of Nebuchadnezzar, greatest ruler of all at the time. And the story unfolds, even Nebuchadnezzar submits himself to God and confesses openly later on, he does according to his will. That's in chapter 4, by the way. The second part of Daniel's prayer is the acknowledgement that God imparts both wisdom and power to mankind. He imparts power, for he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Hello. He imparts wisdom, for he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. No doubt, the greatest portion of this wisdom, wisdom and spiritual things, is reserved for God's people. But there's a general wisdom given to non-believers too, just as political power is given to non-believers as well as believing rulers. I've had folks criticize various presidents. Some saying, well, he may be a good president, but he's not a Christian.
Yeah.
Or the other way, well, he may be a lousy president, but he's a Christian, so that makes it okay. No, it doesn't make it okay.
Mm-mm. No. You know,
your personal salvation, well, that being the thing of eternal importance, does not necessarily excuse bad behavior or silliness.
That's true.
Moving right along. Greatest portion of this wisdom of spiritual things reserved for God's people. The important thing is the recognition that this comes from God. Even if you don't believe in God, he has a way of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes all the difference in the way we live our lives when we know that God and not man is ultimately in charge of circumstances. And then finally, in the third part of his prayer, Daniel praises God for the wisdom and power he's imparted to him personally. You and I have not been given Daniel's special ability to know and understand dreams. I'm assuming that's a correct statement. I know it is for me. I've had dreams, and I said, what in the world was that about? You
know? Yeah, what was that about?
I think it had something to do with whatever I had for supper.
Yeah.
So, here we get to the bottom thing. In Christ, the Bible tells us, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's in Colossians 2. So, to know Jesus as Savior and Lord is to be wise. If you have that knowledge, do you thank God for it, as Daniel did? Do you praise him for the wisdom that has made you wise unto salvation? We get the wisdom that has ultimate score.
Mm-hmm.
But the what I'm talking about here, when we get on to the second section here, has to do with Daniel's response to the situation was prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And in prayer, he acknowledged his insufficiency and inability to respond. First of all of the other guys, you know, even if they were wise in general wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and obviously they wouldn't have held those positions they held and those titles if they had not been, you know, wise and able to, you know, figure a lot of things out.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them the dream, and they could, you know, we'd think psychology is a new science. Well, with that name it is,
mm-hmm.
but being able to figure things out, you know, is not anything terribly new. So they were smart. But they're also smart. It's a metal thing I used to have on the wall that says, half of being smart is knowing what you're dumb at.
They
realized the king had asked something that was beyond human capability, and mm-hmm. they acknowledged that.
Yeah.
And they acknowledged that it had to be supernatural. They just said gods because they were, you know, polytheistic.
Yeah.
And that was the part of the almost correct answer. Because mm-hmm. you know what an almost correct answer is. Wrong.
Yeah.
And but the correct answer, of course, was that the one true God and Daniel was their conduit.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the next section. But I don't know. You know, we never hear from them after that one episode. We don't know where they ended up. They may have been parceled out somewhere in one of the provinces.
Could have been.
You know. Or it may have been that they just set themselves up somewhere in a nice little sinecure and said, look, we just don't want to upset you guys again. We tried to burn you alive, and it didn't work, and none of that. But this other guy came in and brought you out, and we're just not going to mess with you guys at all. It could have been something like that.
But, who knows?
Which is fun to speculate, but don't make a theology out of it. Sometimes that does happen to us.
No, that's true.
But so what's he? He's praying, but he does it when the proper priorities, thanking God, praising God, acknowledging God as the source of all true deep wisdom. And Daniel knew that God was using him to do this kind of stuff. He'd figured that out by then. Mm-hmm. But he acknowledged that it had to come from God. It wasn't his own doing.
Yeah.
And God, of course, revealed what the dream was and what it meant.
Sure.
He revealed that to Nebuchadnezzar. And I expect to see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven because after, being, sent out to eat grass like a cow for a while, he did acknowledge the one true God.
That's it.
Anyway, we got Sharing Hope coming up with Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny.
And we'll come back and we'll pick up some more from Daniel and the section that Boyce calls Faith in the Furnace. Because I believe we got some furnace time coming.
Oh, yeah.
We need to be prepared for it.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into Johnny Erickson-Tata, Sharing Hope.
Did you know that Johnny used to love playing the piano? Well, here's Johnny to tell you all about it.
Years ago when I was on my feet, when I had use of my hands, I used to love just sitting next to my older sister, Jay, as she would play on the piano in our living room. And when my mother saw me mimicking my older sister, she signed me up for lessons. Now, unlike most boys and girls who take piano lessons, I just loved it. I loved walking up the street every Tuesday afternoon after school was over and entering the home of Miss Merson, my piano teacher. She was so very arty, a real bohemian for her day, very eccentric, but I loved the way she taught piano. And I loved the way she played, always, with great emotion. From her, I learned all about the bass and treble clef, notes and time signatures, octave signs, breaks and rests. Miss Merson explained how, in the middle of playing a piece, you pause. There is no music during a musical rest, but it is important in making the melody. A musical rest is necessary, she explained. It provides a necessary pause in setting the tone for the rest of the music. And when I listened to Miss Merson play Rachmaninoff or Chopin, and she'd come to a musical rest, her hands would arch, emotion would build, and the next stanza would be all the more beautiful for it. Recently, I thought of Miss Merson when I came across an essay written by a Christian saint named John Ruskin. He said, "In the melody of our life, the music is separated here and there by rests. During those rests, we foolishly believe we have come to the end of the song. God sends us times of forced rest by allowing sickness or disappointed plans or frustrated efforts. He brings a sudden pause in the course of our lives, and we lament that our voices have been made to be silent. We grieve that our part is missing in the music. Yet, how does a musician read the rest? He counts the break with unwavering precision and places the next note with confidence, as if no pause were ever there. God does not write the music of our lives without a plan. Our part is to learn the tune and not be discouraged during the rests. They are not to be slurred over or omitted, nor used to destroy the melody or to change the key. If we will only look up, God Himself will count the time for us with our eyes on Him, and our next note will be full and clear. If we sorrowfully say to ourselves there is no music in a rest, let us not forget that the rest is part of the making of the music. Process is slow and painful in this life. Yet how patiently God works to teach us, and how long He waits for us to learn the lesson." Friend, that's a great musical lesson, and the lesson is echoed in this beautiful poem called Aside. From the glad working of your busy life, from the world's ceaseless stir of care and strife, into the shade and stillness by your heavenly guide, for a brief time you have been called aside. Called aside in hidden paths with Christ your Lord to tread, deeper to drink at the sweet fountain head, closer in fellowship with Him to roam, nearer perhaps to feel your heavenly home. Called aside, oh, knowledge deeper grows within Him alone. In secret oft His deeper love is shown, and learned in many an hour of dark distress some rare sweet lesson of His tenderness. Called aside, oh, restful thought, He doth all things well, O blessed sense, with Christ alone to dwell. So in the shadow of your cross to hide, we thank you, Lord, that we are called aside.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
I am Brother Mark Fahn, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Well, okay, we've got to stay in Daniel, going to chapter 3. We're just going to read a few verses of that because most of you are familiar with the story, and if not, it'll give you a quick summary.
You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, or psaltery, is that right?
Psaltery,
okay, is symphony of all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at a time to hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, or psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace."
Okay, can you skip down to, I think, verse 17, and they give their answer to him?
If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up.
Okay. So that was the situation that the three Hebrew boys, young men, faced.
Mm-hmm.
They were told, either you bow down and worship this idol, or we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace.
Yes.
Well, they refused to do so, and not only that, but it kind of got in the king's faces. And even if you throw us in the fiery furnace, we're not going to do that. Our God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't save us, and even if you throw us in the fiery furnace, we're not going to worship your God. We're not going to fall down and worship a false God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like the song said, they built the fire so hot, seven times hotter than it ought to be in the song.
Yeah.
But Boyce writes on this thing. He says there were three things that gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the strength to stand firm. Number one, they knew that God was sovereign. Nothing is clearer in their response to King Nebuchadnezzar than this. No airy, speculative abstraction. This was faith in the furnace. Firm conviction of the sovereignty of God in the midst of all things contrary. These men knew that God is sovereign, and therefore it was not foolish but wise for them to trust their lives to him in this matter. Number two, they knew the scriptures. If we're to do the right thing in similar circumstances, we must know the Word of God, because only the Word of God will cut through such ambiguity.
Mm-hmm.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego triumphed because their minds were filled with Scripture and because they kept coming back to Scripture as the only fully trustworthy and inerrant authority in all matters.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, they were willing to die for their convictions. It is possible to believe in a sovereign God and know from Scripture that a sovereign God requires, and yet fail to do the right thing because you're unwilling to pay the price of obedience. Many fail because they will not pay the price of loss of popularity, or loneliness, or ridicule, or persecution, or economic hardship. Only those who are willing to pay such prices make a difference. Some people do pay for their faith by dying, but in other cases, God intervenes to spare His servants. He spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and by the way, it's a rather spectacular way. When Nebuchadnezzar peered into the furnace, he saw them walking around in the fire, unbound, the ropes were burned off, and unharmed, they weren't. He also saw a fourth person who looked like a son of the gods, or a son of God, depending on your translation.
Mm-hmm.
So you need this, something's going on here. Something's going on here.
Yep.
It is not difficult to know who that fourth person was. He was Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate form. It is a vivid portrayal of the fact that God stands with His people in this trouble. Sometimes you see something, sometimes you don't.
Mm.
Sometimes you notice it, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. But he's always there.
Always.
God does go with His people in their trials. Countless believers have testified to that. So let us be confident in the promise of that presence and be strong. Let us stand for the right and do it. Let us refuse to compromise. Let us stand with unbowed heads and rigid backbones before the golden statues of our godless materialistic culture. Let us declare that there is a God to be served and a race to be won. Let us shout that we are determined to receive God's prize, which is far greater than the world's tinsel toys, and that we are servants of Him before whom every knee will bow. Nebuchadnezzar says, I made a god. Everybody's going to bow down and worship my god, my way, the way I say, because if I made the god and then you bow down to the god, you know, you're really acknowledging I'm more powerful than the god because I made the god and yet you made you bow down to it.
Mm-hmm.
You bow down to God, that means you bow down to me.
Mm-hmm.
People say, no, sir, we can't do that. Well, I'm going to throw you in the furnace just so we understand that. We're not going to do that. You might burn up. Our God can deliver us from your fire, but if He doesn't, we're still not going to. We're not going to bow down to your god.
Bow. Yeah.
They made the fire. If you remember the story, when the boys were thrown into the fire, the guards that threw them in were killed by the fire. It was so hot.
It was so hot, yeah.
And, yeah, mm-hmm. walking around in the thing, they were bound. The ropes that bound them were burned off.
Burned off.
They come out. Their clothes were not singed. Their hair was not singed. They were not burned. They were not sunburned. There was no smell of smoke on them or on their clothes.
That's amazing, Jim.
In other words, nothing in that fire touched them. It touched the bond, the things that bound them. When we're faithful to God, the things that bind us, that
will burn off.
Trap us here, they're going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go away. And what is promised to us and guaranteed us is even better.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine, you know, you think about Lazarus. He gets raised from the dead. You know, you kind of want to say, oh, shucks.
Yeah.
Or this one little cartoon says, you know, I had this wonderful dream. I was in heaven, but, you know, here I am.
I'm back.
Yeah. I don't know how the Lord works. They kind of, you know, purged his memory or how that worked
out. I don't know how that works.
That's another thing. It's something to think about, but don't make a theology on it because we don't know.
We don't know.
If we were supposed to know, God would have told us.
That's right.
But the point being, you know, realize God is sovereign. And if he's going through something, there's a purpose. It may not be for you. It may be something somebody else needs to see. They need to see. We had a friend of ours decades ago, and her husband lay dying in the hospital, ICU. She was out in the little waiting room in the ICU area where you wait till you get the chance to go in and be with the patient.
Sure.
She's sitting in there ministering to families who are also watching their loved one die.
Wow.
Because Christian people, we don't die like other folks.
Mm-mm.
We don't die hopeless.
That's right.
We sorrow, we weep, we groan, we moan.
Sure.
We cry.
Yeah.
But if he's done a lot of, I've been to visitations for Christians, and there was laughter as well as tears.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we miss things. It hurts.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
But she was doing that while her husband lay dying.
Yeah.
And if he went in to see him, I didn't get to see him, but they said that he would sit there, and he had, you know, an intubated and all this other stuff. But he would take his finger and make hallelujah sign.
Yeah.
Whenever he saw somebody, because he knew where he was going, and he knew it wasn't going to be much longer.
That's right. That's right.
And so we have this, and but God is a sovereign. Know the scriptures. Know what God has said about things. Know that he's promised to be with you and never leave you or forsake you. Well, I don't sense God's presence. That's you, not him.
That's right.
And there are times we don't. We want to say, Lord, my flesh is asking, where are you? My mind, my spirit, no. But the rest of me and my emotions and all my sensory things are saying, you know, why? So,
it's true.
Can I have a sign of some sort, please?
Yeah.
We do that.
Sure.
And sometimes we get one. Sometimes the sign is the fact that you still trust me, even though you don't see anything going on right now.
That's true.
And sometimes you have to be willing to die. Sometimes it's physical death. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's death to a dream.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine years ago, and he was in a business partnership, a grocery store partnership with some folks, and he realized their ethics and his biblical ethics did not match.
Didn't match up.
He said, I've got to get out of this as soon as I can. And he took a financial hit in the course of doing that.
Yeah.
You know, but he said, he realized we are so different in our ethics that I can't work with them. I can't be in partnership with them. So sometimes it'll be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get a job offer, and you really want the job, and then you get there and find out that something's going to be required.
That's it.
So we got to understand the scriptures and know how to obey them. Be willing to obey when it doesn't seem to make sense.
We got to.
And be willing to die for our convictions. So not all of us are called to that. We like to say that, you know, I will stand up, I will die for Jesus, but... Then we get to the Corrie ten Boom story.
Yeah.
Her father, because he was asking things like that when she was a little girl, and her dad said, when we go to the station, to the train station, when do you get the ticket? Do I give it to you a week ahead? No. I give it to you when you get ready to get on the train. Right when you need it, I will give you the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Says God will give you the grace and strength you need right when you need it.
That's right.
Well, I can see what's lying ahead, and I'm worried about it. Well, Be concerned, be wise, be judicious, but don't be afraid, because God will give you what you need at the right time.
That's right.
And that has been his pattern throughout history.
Absolutely.
And we don't always get thrown in the fire and have Jesus walk around with us in a literal sense.
Yep.
But it's like some of the song says, you're the fourth man in the fire.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When we go through a fire, there is a fourth man with us.
Amen.
And he will stay with us.
Yes.
Our nation is going through some awful times right now, and we, you know, some folks say, and I'm sometimes sound like one of them, that we have it coming because we've turned our back on God. So be in prayer for our nation, for our leaders. Even if you don't like them, be in prayer for them.
That's right.
Be in prayer they make wise decisions. And remember, our faith and our ultimate trust is in the Lord and not in the government or the provisions of the state.
Mm-hmm.
See you next in a couple of weeks. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.